Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay running the board over there. John, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, and I'm putting together a resume because I want to get a job as a field painter for the NFL. I was salty about Sunday night.
I was a little sour too, John. I'll be honest with you.
Not happy about that, huh,
well,
McKay?
Green Bay's my team. My son's favorite team is the Colts. Wife likes them too. We're all set to watch in about an hour before NFL Hall of Fame game may be in jeopardy, and they used the wrong kind of paint. It's the same kind of field as Lampson, and it glumped everything together, and it made some sections that were as hard as concrete and slippery. Yeah. And they couldn't fix the field.
Well, imagine if you were one of the people that had drove there or flew there, and this was what your trip was going to be about, watching this game, and then
you
got canceled.
To say, the folks at ESPN were probably not amused.
Probably not amused at all. No, not at all.
But I was pretty salty, so we ended up watching some of the Olympics.
That's okay. I'm glad you said that because I was going to toss that in there. You know, we did our Olympic story last week with Hope Solo's house for sale.
Brazilian real estate?
And I did go through and I took, it was pretty funny, on Zillow, they had a eight-person quiz on which house goes with which Olympian. Hmm. And I will tell you, Tom, according to Zillow, I got a gold medal. and I got 7 out of 8, which I thought was going to be the silver medal, because I missed one. But so that was a fun little quiz to see there. So a little Olympics with housing real estate stories there for sure.
That's awesome.
Folks, that with us is Mr. Tom Coyne, our in-house lending specialist from Umpqua. Tom, how are you this week?
You know, doing well. Enjoying the Olympics, like John said, and the weather's not too bad. Business is good. Rates are low. You know, I don't have too much to complain about, Lance.
That's fantastic. Lack of sleep, though, because I get caught up watching these Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard for me to...
You have to just shut it off.
I got to just shut it off.
Close your eyes. 11 o'clock, and you're like, oh, I gotta be up early.
11 o'clock, yeah, and I'm usually about an hour past where I should be and needing to turn that thing off. So, absolutely. Well, we always like to kind of start off with our crazy real estate house story. And this one comes out of Tulsa. And this was a crazy house in 1969. A rancher walked into an architect's office and said, I want you to build me a 10,000 square foot house that looks like a fishing reel. And so this guy had some property picked out on a lake, and he wanted the house patterned after a fishing reel, which pretty much made all of the walls, swimming pool, windows in the house circular and curved by nature. You can only imagine how much that baby cost. But it actually, the pictures are pretty incredible. It turned out to be 12,000 square feet. And like I said,
well, they had to let out some line.
Good one, McKay, there. And it features tons of blues, greens, and oranges. I mean, a lot of this house, it's crazy. Still looks like the 1970s, but truly a one of a kind. There's 28 continuous curved oak beams that extend over the roof in the pool area. And then there's 43 doors that all have hand-carved panels on it. 10 air conditioners, 5 hot water heaters, 3 cooking areas, and an indoor and outdoor patio.
Is that a fishing pond anywhere?
Yes, fishing pond on the property.
Oh, okay.
And for a mere $6 million, this property could be yours. But I got to tell you, it's one that I have never seen anything like that before. So that is our crazy residential real estate story. So Tom and I, we always take a look at the local market, what goes on in the local market, the type of things you start to see. And we were going over a list of categories and show topics. And one of the things that we realized is we have never done a show on flipping. And you hear about this a lot. I mean, my goodness, if you've ever turned on HGTV, I mean, you've got shows called Flip or Flop. You've got Tark and Christina, I think. They've even had seminars come through the area where people have gone to these seminars about finding homes. You find a lot of what's called wholesale home buyers in the area. Texas Flip and Sell, absolutely. So there's a lot of shows about this, but I looked back and we have never done a radio show about this to kind of cover this topic and what people look for. And a lot of people will approach us or call us, especially in a good market like we've had, and ask us questions about flipping. So I thought we'd take a little bit of time today and kind of go through that process of what exactly we're looking at and what are some of the factors that you should consider with flipping. And one of the biggest ones that we always talk about, and that is a lot of people say sometimes, and that is you make your money when you buy, and you can't go back and change that very first step of what you paid for the property. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that kind of goes hand in hand. That kind of goes hand in hand with the number two point that I write down with that. And a lot of these kind of run together. But one of the biggest things that goes on with that is knowing your market. So I always tell people, like, when we go in and we rehab houses and we work with flippers that will fix up a house, the two most important things in that scenario is that they generally want to know, the people that do this professionally, is what's going to be our acquisition cost, what's the lowest price that we can possibly get the house for, and then number two is fixed up and back on the market, what are our comparable sales? So that's a huge one. And some of the things that we're looking at is, are you in an area that has rising prices? We have been in Tri-Cities. We've talked about some of those appreciation numbers and how crazy they've been. So are you in an area that's going to have rising prices? Is there a transitional neighborhood? Is there good potential to see the increases in the prices? Is this near good schools that will attract, you know, a different set of buyers? Is the community popular, say, with retirees? So you're looking at what is the target market of the house that you're looking at buying. And then fixed up, what are those comparables? So the biggest mistake that a lot of times we see people make is they ignore those comparable sales. They will get into a project and they'll say, gosh, this is going to be great because I'm going to do it like I've seen on TV, and I'm going to put granite countertops in.
Looks really easy on TV, Lance.
It's
like a cooking show.
It does. I mean, that's a 30-minute episode. I mean, you're telling me this happened in 30 minutes? You know, yeah, when you're on TV watching those shows, it does look really easy. But I've watched some of those shows before, and one of the best parts, one of the things I do really like about the Tark and Christina on that show is that they have their real estate license and they're always very, very particular about what the comparable sales are. So as far as those shows go and the things that they do show, one of the things I really like about that show is that they show them looking at the comparable sales ahead of time. And so that number it gives you a great indication of where your potential profit's going to be. And I always tell people that is a number you should really look at and then not count on that number going higher. That's where I think sometimes people take too much risk, is when they say, well, I think prices will be up another $10,000 when I'm done with this in 3 months. That's a really, really bad assumption. And especially in a market that traditionally like ours, those prices don't go up that fast. Your comparables at your time of purchase, if you're looking at a 2 to 3 month turn, really should be the numbers that you're basing your math on. And that brings me to my third point in that thing, in this conversation, and that is do the math. I mean, absolutely, you need to have some real numbers in hand. If you don't use an Excel spreadsheet or you're not good at it, I would recommend getting good at that as a skill to really help, because it's amazing when you get into a project like that, how the little numbers add up to be a big number. And it really kind of goes along with, we've done entire shows about renovations specifically. So one of the things you really want to look at too is there's going to be some acquisition costs. It's not just what is it going to take to fix up that house. You need to know that when you go into the purchase of that house, you're also going to have some acquisition costs. Up front, you're going to be looking at your title cost. You're going to be looking at your escrow fee for closing that transaction. And then you're also going to be looking at some insurance costs and taxes monthly for carrying that house. So those are what I call part of the transactional costs in there. And you're going to need to factor those into your overall expense for acquiring that house. So a lot of people leave that out. And when we look at that right off the bat, there's probably $1,500 to $2,000 that people haven't considered just in the purchase transactional cost.
Yeah, I was going to say 1% to 2% based off of the sales price, depending on the sales price.
Yeah, absolutely. So right off the bat, you're going to need to make sure that's in there. You're also going to need to look at if you've borrowed any money on that purchase. You're going to need to look at your short-term loan rates that you're going to have on that. Another category that people leave out is your monthly utility costs. While you're fixing that house up, you're going to have water bills. You're going to have your electricity in there. And the other thing to really be weary of when you go to purchase these homes is if they're in bad condition, you're going to always want to double check that there's no lingering utility bills that don't get paid at your closing. So you're going to want to look out for that and factor in your utility and maintenance costs along with taxes and insurance when you're looking at your purchase. So that now gets us to the point of the purchase, and we haven't even started doing any of the work, Tom. So on our 30-minute flip or flop show there, I think we're at about our first 15 minutes of the show. So when we come back, we're going to go a little more in depth to the lending side of things, some information that Tom has that he looks out for when he's dealing with these quick turn properties. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the things you can do to protect yourself when you're looking to use these as a quick investment, flip and fix up.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been doing a little episode today talking about some of the things to consider if you're thinking about flipping a house and purchasing, fixing up, and reselling. There's a number of people in Tri-Cities that do that full-time professionally, and there's also quite a few people that we see that go into these projects and will do this kind of as a hobby or on the side for some extra income. And we get a lot of calls about this, especially in a hot market, a lot of questions about that coming in from people that come into our area. And you'll see even some of the seminars come through town and people talk about it. So we thought it was a worthy topic to kind of go over a little bit, talk about some of those issues. Sometimes the reality of that situation is very different than maybe what you see in those seminars on the weekends when they come through town. So just kind of looking through some of that, and we've worked with quite a few people over the years that do this on a consistent basis. One of the things we always like to do, though, first is check in with Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua and some of the programs that he has going on right now. And holy moly, I saw some of those rates earlier this week, and they continue to be absolutely a great time to lock in some rates.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know when that's going to change. There is a little thing coming up in the United States called the presidential election, though, and things might change after that. I don't know.
We don't know.
As of right now, that's like the only date scheduled or circled on my calendar where, like, who knows what happens after that. But yeah, Lance, incredible time for rates. If you're out there shopping for a mortgage, certainly give us a call. I'd love to get you a quote. But talking on our topic, I want to talk about it from two different angles. First being, if you're wanting to purchase a house that someone has recently purchased and is flipping or in the process of flipping it to you, I suppose. And there's two different programs I want to chat about, one being FHA. If you're using FHA financing to purchase a home that's recently been flipped, you cannot go under contract on it for at least 90 days from when the previous owner took title. So if you're out there shopping for a house and this is at a $180,000 house, it might be hard right now to use FHA financing to get one of these because these houses are going off the market so quick. But if you find one that's been on the market and the previous owner had it for at least 90 days, you can put an offer with your FHA loan. Now, conventional doesn't have these guidelines. There is no wait period from when the previous owner purchase it before they can resell. You just have to make sure that the seller is the legal owner and it wasn't assigned to someone else to sell. So as long as the seller is the legal owner, no problem for conventional. Now, let's say that you own a house outright and you're considering maybe your primary residence is owned outright and you're looking at your investments and your investments aren't doing very much in the stock market and you're trying to find out, how do I put this money to work for me? You might want to look at a cash out refinance. Now, if you do a cash out refinance, then you essentially just go in and pay cash for this new house that you're going to intend to flip. And then you could do all your remodel repairs, sell the home, pay back your mortgage if you like. And that's a great way to come up with some funds. Now, the great thing about taking a cash out refinance of your primary residence is that you get primary residence interest rates, where if you try to go get a loan for an investment property, you are going to have higher interest rates and there's going to be some sort of down payment requirement. Where if you have enough equity in your primary residence, after meeting the guidelines and maybe not going up to 80% of the value of the home, then you potentially get all your cash out of your primary residence and don't need to actually tap into any of your savings account. Another idea is home equity loans. If you're looking at this as a much more short-term venture and you want to have more of a revolving line that's open to you, so let's say a home equity loan is looked at similar to a credit card. You use the balance and you draw those funds and you can pay it back over time. And as you pay it back, those monies become available again. So if you want to maybe do a couple homes over the next year or so, then a home equity line is a really good idea because whatever you pay back, those funds become available to you again. So a couple different options on securing financing for a flip or just remodels in general. If you have any other questions, though, feel free to call. I'd be happy to chat with you.
Now, a lot of people sometimes will use those renovation loans to fix up their primary residence instead of purchasing new. So say the market is just crazy right now and you look around and you can't find anything that would replace your existing house. You probably have a lot of people with low interest rates right now deciding to do the renovation like that or an addition instead of moving.
Yeah, absolutely, Lance. And we always look at their current mortgage on what type of loan do we do and how much money do you need. So I had a client last week and I said, how much money do you need? And what's the rate on your current mortgage? Well, they had a really good first mortgage already and they only needed a small amount of money to do their renovation. Home equity loan makes the most sense in that because they could pay that back quick. Let's say you had someone with a higher interest rate on their primary mortgage and needed more cash out. Then I would do a full cash out refinance on that one. And depending on the appraisal and equity position, an actual renovation loan might make most sense for some people.
Awesome, Tom. Thanks for that information and those different ideas there. One of the things that we're also always counseling people on is the risk factor of doing this. This is not a business that we would consider low risk. It's not like putting your money in a money market or putting it in bonds or something like that. There's a major risk factor here because one is you're generally buying a property that needs a lot of work. And so one of the things that we're always counseling people with is that if you don't have enough time to put into these properties, time or flexibility, that's where we see people sometimes get into trouble. Because once they buy the property, they might hold it longer than they thought. I've gone to these appointments where I've had to help people resell houses and come to find out they had bought it like a year and a half ago, intending to flip it, but they didn't have the time to do it or they ran out of the money. So one and two on my list of mistakes to avoid is not enough money because they didn't properly get an inspection first, know what type of systems they were going to have to upgrade, and then also not enough time. And it's not just your own personal time. The other thing to factor into this is time of the subcontractors in the market. So if you're not going to do all of the work yourself, you're going to be relying on subcontractors. When you're in a market like the Tri-Cities right now, what have we been talking about for the last 6 months with the building industry? Tom?
Yeah, it's busy. They're building a lot of homes.
They're building a lot of homes as fast as they possibly can. So a lot of those subcontractors are stacked up with new constructions.
You know, it's a good idea, Lance. You should be checking in with contractors and say, how far out are you for a project like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you think you're going to turn a house like they do on TV in 45 in 45 days, and you look and you've got an HVAC contractor that's out 6 weeks, that's not going to work. You know, and you look at your schedule. When do windows need to be in? When does HVAC need to be in? And you put together that schedule. It can be a very frustrating process. I've been there before. I mean, I know, you know, what people can deal with. And so then you're kind of scrambling to get maybe not your normal subs that are in there to work in that. So one of those factors is definitely not enough time with the subcontractors that you would normally use. The third thing I put down is not enough skills. If you've ever been in a with a buyer and you show three or four houses and you go to two or three that had professional renovations done on them, and then you go to the fourth one that had non-professional homeowner watched too many YouTube videos work done on the trim or the countertops or the tile, it is immediately apparent to the buyers because they've just seen what the alternative looks like. So not enough skills is also a major, major thing to factor into that equation.
You know, another thing I would point out is you don't know what you don't know. So
yes.
And this might be on your list, but you start working on something and you're tearing up that tile in the bathroom floor and you realize this whole subfloor needs to come out too. I mean, what kind of budget should people be accounting for the unexpected? I mean, is it 10% of whatever their budget is that they've estimated?
You know, when we go through new construction with clients and stuff, we always try to factor in that 5 to 10%. And that's a very, very safe number to put in. If you think that in a renovation like this, that your estimates and your spreadsheet shows, let's say, 18,000, 10%, you know, is 1,800. Well, it's very, very possible to go to 1,800 can go very, very quickly. One of the things that I see people sometimes forget to factor in is even landfill or dump costs. They look at the clean out and it's hard to estimate, you know, how many bushes, how many trees, you know, how many loads and what's the weight that goes to the landfill to get this place cleaned up. It's very easy to have $400, $500, $600 of just dump costs. So, well, that eats into 1,800 very, very quickly, and not uncommon for us to see in that business. The other thing that sometimes you'll see people factor into that we've had is larger properties might have vehicles on them. And I tell you what, getting rid of a vehicle when you don't have access to a title can cause some big, big headaches. So be leery of some, and a lot of times in these situations, those things just get left on properties. Mm-hmm. So your cleanup costs and having that factor, I'm glad Tom brought that up, having that fudge factor of 10% into your budget is a huge, huge thing to have in there. So there's a lot of factors. This can be a really lucrative side business. It can be, many people find it very rewarding also, especially someone like a contractor, maybe a handyman that has those skills. We put together programs to help people do that all the time. And it takes some patience too. You got to find the right property, and patience is another factor in there. Of, I go back to what we said at the beginning of the show, making your money when you buy. You get one chance to get that price right when you buy and make a decision on the right property, and no amount of fix up or granite is going to fix that mistake that happened on the front end. I always like to get in some new property because we know there's still a lot of people out there looking that can't find, and we have three amazing new listings. The first one is 1109 West 2nd Avenue in Kennewick. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath with an office, central Kennewick, 1,400 square feet, and new everything. Flooring, kitchen, paint, bathroom, big living room, brand-new kitchen, solid surface counter. I mean, they went crazy. We're talking about flipping, so I put this one on here. This is a house that has been completely redone and ready to go. And so you're getting 1,434 square feet in Kennewick for $160,000. Hmm. And that's sometimes the bonus, is it's very hard to find brand new everything for $160,000. So a purchase like that could make sense for somebody, and that's a great new listing we have. Pick number two, 2052 Anna. This is over in South Richland. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath with a den, 2,500-square-foot home. We've got hardwood floors on the main level. We've got a great family room, built-in gas fireplace, opens up to a large kitchen, breakfast bar, large counters, pull-out drawers in the cabinets. I mean, this place is really, really done up well. Huge master suite on the upper level with French doors, fully fenced backyard, awesome, awesome property. And that's coming in South Richland, $289,500. So good price for 2,500 square feet there. Pick number three, this is a great, great home in Central Richland, 1308 Haynes Avenue. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, rambler with a basement, 2,130 square feet. You've got those incredible original hardwood floors on the main level in those older Richland homes, and they are just absolutely gorgeous. Basement has a family room, great office space, laundry, bonus room. You've got egress window downstairs for a possible fourth bedroom. Totally freshly painted and a private fenced backyard. And that's coming in super easy access to those walking paths and everything down there by the river. And that's coming in at $243,000. So there's some great new property that we've listed out there. Go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, if you have any questions about some of that. On the lending side, Tom, I was thinking about my dad's name is Tim there.
Tim's a good guy.
I think I was thinking about the last house, and I was like, maybe Tim needs to be close to the river. These walking paths is what shot into my crazy brain. How to get a hold of these for financing, Tom? What's the best way for people to get to you?
783-7300 is the phone number, or anytime online, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
All right, and we will be right back here next week.
Yes, we will, Tim, on News Talk 870.
Oh, I love it.